Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Borderless podcast. Today is a bit of a sobering podcast. It is not going to be a new podcast. The news I have to report is that, unfortunately, yesterday, Mark Hoverson passed away. He lost his battle to cancer that he's been dealing with for a while. And so finally yesterday, that was over. And the guy was incredibly inspiring, a great family man. And so this is a unfortunate loss that we've had. But I thought that in remembrance of him, I would republish our podcast that we did with him, which I just thought was incredible. He left us with a lot of knowledge. And so please enjoy the podcast. And if you'd like to learn more about his struggle and the story, you can go to GoFundMe. They do have a GoFundMe set up, and that's GoFundMe. Just check Mark Hoverson.
Welcome to the Borderless Podcast, your guide to traveling, investing, and living beyond borders, where we talk about living the life that you want to live, where you want to live it. From beautiful San Miguel de Allende, smack in the middle of Mexico. With your hosts, Jonathan Lockwood and James Guzman.
Welcome to the Borderless Podcast, traveling, investing, and living beyond borders. This is the podcast where we talk about things like location-independent businesses, like living internationally, like having more self-reliance and having a lot of fun in doing so. My name's Jonathan Lockwood. I'm here with James Guzman. Hey, James.
Hey, Jonathan. How's it going?
Good. Well, we always sort of lamely enter into what's going on in San Miguel de Allende, but we've got a lot to talk about, right? True. What's going on this weekend?
Well, you got the Sabores San Miguel. You know, it's all the different restaurants in town. They offer all different samples of their food, samples of their drinks, and then they also have a DJ and bands, and it turns into a pretty fun weekend. So, and I'm going to be the photographer for that.
Oh, you are?
So, yeah,
great.
Yeah, so, yeah,
so James is a great photographer. We'll have to post some pictures.
Absolutely,
of that.
I'm gonna put together an album, so that should be a lot of fun.
Cool.
And then on Sunday is the Dia de los Locos, which is really crazy. Most people don't know what this is, but I didn't know what it was either. But it's like a local festival, and all these people just dress up. They shut down all the streets in the Centro, and they dress up in all these crazy costumes, and they throw candy everywhere, and it's a pretty big deal. So that should be a lot of fun. We got like a place rented overlooking the whole parade. So that
Looking forward to that. So you guys have heard of Day of the Dead. This is Day of the Crazies.
Yep.
And so I'm looking forward to checking that out.
Yeah.
My buddy Ryan is getting in too soon here. Buddy of mine from Arizona.
Yeah.
Who is going to be interested in checking out the town. And so I'm looking forward to taking him around and stuff. I'm excited about our guest today. You know, I've known Mark, I think, for 2 or 3 years. You guys have heard me talk about this place when I lived in Arizona. It was just my favorite hangout. It's called Fox Cigar Bar, one of the greatest cigar bars maybe in the world. And I was hanging out there one time on the patio. It was a little warm. And I remember there was this cluster of maybe 20 youngish men, young men. And they were having some kind of a little conference, and they asked me to take a picture of them. And I said, "What are you guys doing?" And they said, "Well, this is sort of like a bunch of young entrepreneurs." And then the guy who looked to me only slightly older, but ended up being, I guess, in his mid-30s, Mark, spoke up and he said, "Have any words of wisdom for us?" And I was like, "In fact, I do." And I don't know, I went on to say something about not letting people steal your dream or something like that. Anyway, his name is Mark Hoverson. And little did I know, this guy's kind of a badass in the online marketing world. He's an internet marketer and teacher. The story on Mark, originally from North Dakota, but who's been primarily living in Arizona for some time now. In 2007, Mark qualified for welfare and started his online business from a computer at the public library because he couldn't afford his own. Using YouTube and Google pay-per-click, he began to sell affiliate products. Today, nearly $20 million of his own info products have been sold. He only rarely wears shoes or even a shirt and has become that serious badass in the online marketing world. Welcome, Mark Hoverson, to the Borderless Podcast.
Wow, John, your voice is so good. I don't know
if I got a cold, man. It's not so good today.
I don't know if I dare speak anymore. But
I understand that. I do. But let's make our way through it.
John, and I do want to say, I remember that moment vividly because you came over and you just, like, your persona, you carry a real optimistic, supportive, you know, you vibe with ambition and stuff. And the guys loved what you said. I don't remember it, and you probably don't as much as well either, but it was just a wind of encouragement to the guys, and it was really cool. So this is the first time I think we've ever spoke where cigars aren't, you know, around us. So
that's right.
This is like virgin territory for
us. Right. So I would see Mark, and I'd seen him for a while, usually back in the VIP area, but not necessarily on the computer, you know, wearing a baseball cap without having shaved for, I don't know, 7 or 8 days, you know, flip-flops, smoking a cigar. And this was where I met him. And a lot of those young men friended me on Facebook, and we're friends to this day. It's neat to see them go on and see how you've had such a remarkable impact on them. So why don't we start out with this? You've seen a lot of success in online marketing. Is this financial success, did this run in the family? Were you a family of entrepreneurs or very financially successful people?
You know, I think it did, but it was a slower model. That's probably the biggest difference. Like when I was 12 years old, my dad picked up a check from the mailbox, and we had like a quarter of a mile drive to our house from the mailbox, which I walked as a kid, you know, uphill both ways in the snow. But he picked it up, and the check was for like $400. And he said, "Mark, every time we get this check from now on, it's profit because we just paid off that property. And this is a rental check from that." And, but they worked, you know, 10, 15 years to pay off that loan by the time that check showed up. But I saw residual income right away. And my mind is like a 10, 12 year old or whatever. It just popped. And I was like, wait a minute, you're making money right now for work you did in the past. Like it's paying you indefinitely, sort of. And you're just fixing the toilet every now and then. I'm like, I like what I'm seeing here. Yeah. So, you know, and my grandparents were farmers, which is really a, you know, kind of the original entrepreneur in sorts. And so I grew up seeing my grandpas, you know, completely own their own schedule. Now, of course, they worked, you know, tirelessly. But I would say, you know, to answer your question a little tighter, it's a prosperous family, and it's a solid, it's a steady, it's more the turtle and less the hare kind of thing. But when I saw online marketing, to me, that was like, okay, I'm not geographically located to my audience now, and I can sell products 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, you know, so it clicked so bright and so instant when I saw the capacity of it as a young man that it just, I maybe had a little faster machine to make money with.
Gotcha. And so did you try other businesses before you moved online? What was your path?
Oh man, I was selling dandelions in the country. You know, I literally picked a thing of dandelions and drove my wagon up to the, you know, country road, and there was one car a day that would pass by, and they didn't want my dandelions. So I did that. I had garden stands. I would pick zucchini like the size of 6 footballs, and nobody wanted those zucchinis either, but I'd buy them, and or I'd pick them and grow them and sell rhubarb. And you know, when I think I was 18, I heard that Coke would give you a Coke machine if you just bought the Coke from them, and you could sell the Coke at twice what you bought it for. So I had a little Coke machine, and then I had my younger brother, who was like ninth grade, empty the quarters and give me the quarters. And that, I've always liked the idea of providing value, but not having to like physically be active in the creation of the money. And so I'd make like $50 a month on this Coke machine that just was sitting there, you know? So that was cool. I bought an infomercial when I was 14. It was midnight. It was like super late at night. How to make money in product liquidation. So you'd call warehouses. I'm 14 freaking years old. I buy a $200 info product on, you know, off the TV. I steal it out of my dad's credit card, call up, you know, take the upsell probably on the phone. I get it. I go to the public library. I get the Chicago Yellow Pages, and I just start calling warehouses. And I'm like, "You got any goods that you can't move?" And then they like, it was like aprons. And so I would call a hospital, and I'd say, "Hey, do you have a kitchen?" You know, it was the stupidest thing of all time. I was dumb. I bought Don LaPriest, or my brother bought Don LaPriest thing. So that was like how to make money with mailbox money or whatever.
With those little ads.
Yeah.
Little ads.
Yeah. I was 18, and I placed an ad in the Globe, which is like the National Enquirer's stepchild, right? And it said, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is going public. I wrote, do you want to be happier? And then I put greater gladness, 50 ways to be more happy, $7.
You did that? What year was that?
Oh, shit. 97, man. I suppose. And four people bought it. I got a little P.O. box. I followed the instructions. I got the P.O. box. Four people sent me $7 checks to the P.O. box. And I opened them, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, people are going to buy this thing. So I sent it out, and then I looked at, you know, Don's steps said, when you send out the report, include an upsell. So I was like, okay, so I didn't think anyone was going to buy it. So I wrote up a little sales letter on a one-page thing that said, Proverbs, the secret of persuasions, because I had been reading Proverbs since I was a kid. And I put that out, and that was $10. And it was like 21 Proverbs that will teach you to be more persuasive and powerful or something. And two of those people paid again. So I had 50% upsell. And this was like you had to mail the check and write it. And the two people sent back and said, like, you're a brilliant writer and you have a huge career ahead of you. And, you know, these are people that are reading the Globe to begin with. But anyway, I just saw that, wow, if you follow instructions and you provide something that's curious. But literally, when they wrote it, when I got the check, I literally was like, shit, I didn't think anyone was going to buy this. And I just went down to the basement and typed up that report in about 10 hours and sent it out. And then I sent another upsell, which I don't even remember. They didn't buy that one. And that, so I was playing around, you know, continually with this stuff.
Was your first, you know, kind of big break, was that 2007, or had you had some before then?
Oh, I don't know. When I was 21, I had a $10,000 month. I had an ad in the USA Today, and it said, what's, you know, the, and I'm not ashamed or proud of my early entrepreneurial endeavors. It was all about me. Like, I didn't think of value creation like I do today. Like, you know, your business exists to create value and the exchange. You know, I'm not going to pretend that I wasn't scamming anyone in any way, shape, or form, but it's not like I'm super proud of these kind of things. But anyway, in the USA Today, I had an ad that said Millionaire Minds, and it had a cash sign on each side of it. And then the second line was, what's the secret to making $1,000 in 15 minutes? And then I had an 800 number. And the 800 number, they'd call it, and the phone would ring off the hook, right? And it's truck drivers, pilots. Actually, I met some amazing people that are still clients to this day. They've bought everything I've sold for 8 years. Wow. It's insane. But anyway, it was like, hi, my name is Mark Overson. If you saw this, you were in the USA Today, and you're looking for a way. Is there a secret to make $1,000 in 15 minutes? I actually have a free report I want to send to your email with a video that explains how you can, as I have, made 1,000 dollars. Leave your name and number, and I'll call you back. Right. So I'm calling people back, sending them to a sales video for a travel membership that was had some value in it, and I'd get on the phone with them. I said, only call me after you watch the video. So the video would work for me for about an hour, right? So that it's kind of an Android earning model where the internet's selling for you. And then by the time they called me, they had already been filtered and screened and sold. And I'd spend less than 10 minutes asking like closing questions or just helping them make the decision to buy. And I'd make $1,000 in less than 15 minutes of my time. And so I started doing that at 21, and then I didn't have the self-esteem to retain that money. I had never met anybody who had made $10,000 in a month. I was the first person I knew. And so I kind of sabotaged, and then I was basically qualifying for welfare till I was about 27.
Mm. And you're how old now, Mark?
I'm 36.
36, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, what I'm hearing is about, it's a story of a guy that's, you knew that what you wanted to do when you were younger as far as entrepreneurship and marketing and this type of stuff, and you just kept going at it and going at it, you know, consistently, and you've become successful doing it now.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it is, and I think it was a little bit of DNA. You know, I'm getting a little older, so I'm kind of digging into grandpa's stories about his dad and, you know, stories about my grandpas and stuff, and I'm finding out that, you know, my great grandpa had a thriving multi-dimensional business during the recession, and he was the wealthiest guy in the neighborhood, and he employed all sorts of people. He had great whiskey, and he had pigs, and he had gardens, and everyone else was starving. No. And he just kicked ass. So when 2008 hit, and I was earning anywhere from like 12 to 20,000 a week. And 2008 hit, and I went from that weekly literally to zero. Ooh. Like nobody bought anything. And that was when Target was putting ads on the TV with like families huddled around a fire playing Monopoly saying like the new normal is here and buy some Monopoly boards. So I'm like, oh, you know, things are, this is, and that was the attitude. People were like, you know, hunker down, don't spend, you know, the everything's a bubble, you know, real estate's inflated, the world's ending. And I almost bought that. And I called my dad that day and I said, Dad, I'm going to buy some chickens. I'm going to buy some pigs. And, you know, I think we might just buy a trailer and hold out this decade recession depression that's eminently coming. Right. Of course, in my apocalyptic fear mongering young ignorant self. And I said, that's all obviously coming. So I'm going to buy some chickens and some pigs and stuff like that. And we're moving the family to the farm, right? And then I thought to myself, wait a minute. I said, you know what? Everybody's going to quit right now. Everybody's quitting. Everybody's quitting, and I'm going to become one of the best in the world at this. I made a decision. I'm like, and if it works, I'm really going to be positioned well for the rest of my life. And then I thought, like, historically, I'm like, these things don't last that long usually. And I turn the assets of my clients into information buyers versus traveling buyers, right? Because travel was my main bread and butter. And then traveling kind of froze for a little bit. But information marketing was actually picking up, you know, it's like it's a multi, you know, probably $100 billion industry just selling information. And I took my assets of my credibility with my buyers and I turned into how to create information products. And, you know, I had my first $1 million day. I had, you know, with the help of affiliates and stuff. And I don't get to keep much of that, maybe 20%. But I just, you know, I found out it was in my DNA, though, I think.
So there's a couple of things I wanted to ask you about what you just said. But the last thing you said about affiliates, or I'm sorry, the information products. You know, there's some people that are kind of afraid that the information product may be a, you know, it's overbought or, you know, it's not going to last, that it's some sort of a faddish thing. How do you see that?
I just see my bank account.
So you're not seeing any slowdown?
Here's the thing. Well-positioned information. There's nothing more expensive than that information. That's just all there is to it. So the kings and the rulers of the world have the best intel. That's why they can invest the best. That's why they can detect trends before they show up. That's why, I mean, information is the king's commodity. And so being able to develop information, and it's not information. That's, I think the miss is it's not, people don't want information. They want a new result in their life. And so if you create a result, an instruction manual to create a new result the person never had, that becomes undeniable. So you're not selling information, you're selling a result, you're selling a solution. And so I primarily, like one of my products, like Solomon, my Solomon product, I have, you know, person after person, like just it's beyond debate, really, where a Harvard business grad buys it and skyrockets his business and says, hey, I go through Solomon CEO every year. And I think you don't learn this at Harvard. It's a different kind of information. And guys that say I took my business from 800,000 to 2 million because of one thing I learned from Solomon through Mark Solomon CEO. So I basically teach an action guide and a result, not information about, you know, how chlorophyll makes things green or whatever. Right. Do you see the it's a massive difference. So when guys in the game, like John, you were saying, the success that the guys have, I don't teach them much information. I teach them how to do things, and then it's a measurable result. So guys are losing 20, 30 pounds. Guys are suddenly feeling more confident. Their rooms are clean. Their cars are clean. They have a savings account. They have investments accounts. They have life insurance. They feel more confident. They have more friends. These are results. These aren't like, you know, secret information things. So the big miss in information marketing is people thinking, like what we're doing right now is we're moving information and ideas, and it's nice, right? It's good. It's useful. We're not selling a solution right now that we can almost guarantee if you buy this, you will get this. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge difference.
So is that normally how you approach these information products? You decide what the problem is first, and then, is that how you start the process, then get all the information in the process after that?
I basically reverse engineer an ideal scenario for somebody and say, like, I have Solomon Erotica. So Solomon Erotica is basically a romance thing for couples. And I say, here's 17 secrets from Solomon's Song of Solomon in the Bible. Activate these. Try these out. Try this. Like, actually do it and just see if the romance picks up. And, you know, I get these text messages, awkward, weird things from husbands and wives, like, wow, this stuff really works. But all they're doing is setting an intention. And with the purchase, they're doubling down mm-hmm. on the intention that, hey, I do want that result in my life now. So they could have bought another book with the intention behind it. So, you know, there's some placebo kind of thing happening in all of life, but they're doubling down on their intention to get a new result. So I have another thing called the Million Dollar Day, where I do 90 minutes. I kind of itemize out through everything in your life that you could possibly be procrastinating on, from not seeing the chiropractor, not seeing the dentist, not seeing the optometrist, like not getting a physical, not starting your savings account, not activating your will, having your garage, like everything you've been procrastinating on. And we itemize out, you know, this is what I've been procrastinating on, taking my shit to Goodwill and dropping it off 3 years, right? And then I say, if someone offered you $1 million cash, if you could wipe this list out in 24 hours, could you do it? $1 million cash in your hand. And usually the answer is, well, I think for $1 million, I'd figure it out. And I said, well, let's just pretend. It's called the $1 million Day. It's $37. Buy it, try it, watch the training. And what I guarantee is you will never have achieved more in a day in your life, ever. You will never have slept better. You will probably have less. You will probably, if you meditate, you'll probably meditate better. If you, you know, have everything else, it'll enhance. You'll have more hope. You'll blah, blah, blah. So thousands of people have done this $1 million day, but it's an experience. And it's not really up for debate because it's a result. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's not like, hey, Hoverson's right. It's not like a religious preacher where it's like, he's right. He's right. And that person's wrong. It's like, I have been looking at my garage. Like, we had a client the other day. She spent $20,000 on inventory for a dream business 15 years ago. And on the $1 million day, I said, anything that carries negative energy that you look at, and it doesn't move you towards optimism and inspiration, ditch it, sell it, get rid of it, get it out of your sight, get it out of your life. So she took this 15-year-old, you know, baggage, because she thought, maybe I'll revive the business. She donated it to a cancer center. They took it was like plastic fruit bowls and things. And the cancer patients all like decorated their own fruit bowls and stuff. So it actually got redeemed. She cleared up an entire car space in her garage. So she has a second car space. She says, my life feels different at a core psychic level every day because I parked and every day looked at that. So that's a result. You know, it's not a, so that's the key to information. So anybody listening who wants to really move in information, don't try to make it like all sophisticated and intellectual and brilliant. Give a step-by-step solution. And if a person buys your thing and has a better solution, or they have a better result in their life in that area, they're going to buy more and they're going to be grateful. And you're going to be surrounded in like an atmosphere of praise. And when your critics come up, as they inevitably have to, you don't even really have to care because it doesn't even matter.
That's beautiful. You're listening to the Borderless Podcast. We're talking to Mark Hoverson, a leader in the area of internet marketing and a teacher of doing so. Mark, in a minute, we want to come back and talk to you a little bit about the idea of our audience, the sort of the people who like to live internationally, how they can use this and what separates all of the people trying to get into this world from those who realize great success. But right now, we're going to take a moment and give attention to our sponsor. Today's Borderless Podcast is brought to you by The Condescending Group, your online leader in promoting groundless self-esteem. You know, recently, Vermont Senator and presidential candidate Bernie Sanders made an eye-opening statement in an interview. Quote, "You don't necessarily need a choice of 23 underarm spray deodorants or of 18 different pairs of sneakers when children are hungry in this country." End quote. And the fact that this has been repeated in every newspaper and television program has really got our friends at the Condescending Group giddy, because it means one thing: more and more people are rejecting boring logic in favor of obscure yet poignant hogwash. And in response, the Condescending Group's assistant editor was inspired to post an article full of more such histrionic mule muffins, like, There's no need for more than one flavor of Jell-O when one out of three American students can't even read the Communist Manifesto. And why do we have so many types of footwear when Crocs are all that's necessary and children are suffering from brutal vitamin D deficiencies? And finally, do you really need more than one type of donut when women worldwide are being sold into sexual slavery? Yes, the fact that such anti-free market thoughts can be baselessly connected to real or imagined atrocities with no factual footing gives the condescending group hope that people will one day be fully immune to reasoned argumentation and more open to emotional pigeon pellets like these. The condescending group, they care more than you. So we're back at the Borderless Podcast. We're talking to Mark Hoverson, internet marketer and teacher. I believe you were a founding member of the condescending group, weren't you, Mark?
Oh man,
you I guys don't think
hate,
so.
You guys hate Ayn Rand, don't you? Ayn Rand. That was really good, John.
I don't know that what you're talking really... about. This is our sponsor, and they pay us a lot of money for those ads, and we put our heart and soul into them.
Oh my God. Okay.
So Mark, a lot of the people, the way it's turned out, the people listening to the Borderless Podcast are, you know, they're kind of the digital nomad people or people that the digital nomad life sort of appeals to them, the people who like to travel and take their business with them. So there's no career that potentially leaves you more free in this way to travel, to create your own schedule, to choose your work than an online business. So it's no wonder that so many people are trying their hand at it. I find people every week, friends that I've met in this world, who are just trying to make something happen. What is it that separates them from those who realize great success?
Well, great to say, you know, success, we'd want to kind of define it right. A little bit. But I think one of the biggest traps to the whole game is people, I don't know if they really want the nomad life as much as it sounds nice, right? Because it's not that expensive. I have clients and stuff that are living in Bali for $3,000 a month. You just go sell your house with take the profits and do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, $3,000 a month is expensive, actually.
Yeah.
$1,000 a month.
They've got a little servant on their hands, and they've got a nice little network of entrepreneurs around them. And, you know, so it's not, or go to Mexico somewhere, you know, San Juan, where you guys are at sounds a little more sophisticated and stuff, but there's really inexpensive places. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys know this. I mean, you do it. So I think a lot of it's like, I would experiment with it first, right? I would experiment with it. But I think the big one, here's to answer it much, much better, is you just got to thin down, right? So get rid of some of the entanglements that make it impossible or some of the presuppositions that make it impossible. Like I live in Arizona for 8-9 months and I live in North Dakota for 2 or 3 months. And we travel, I mean, this coming year, we have about 4 week vacations already scheduled to different mountains to ski and different resorts and different here and there and the other thing. But, you know, one thing is if I move away, I lose touch with mom and dad, and mom and dad are getting old, and I'm a terrible son and I'm a horrific brother. I don't care about my family, my legacy or anything at all. I suck. Okay. So that's a belief. So when I moved to Arizona, what I realized, we have a direct Allegiant flight right back to my hometown, is I'm actually, my relationships with not everybody, but almost everybody are a little more special. And I'm a little more interesting when I come home. And I can bring more value home. Like right now, I'm in North Dakota for 2 months. And I just have more value and I have more stories. And I'm actually a little bit more of a, because I wanted to do something and I did it, I'm a little bit more of an emancipator, just psychologically for my friends and stuff. I'm canoeing the other day with one of my buddies, and his passion is mountain biking and skiing. That is his passion, period. And he lives for it, like buys $4,000 mountain bike, best skis on the market, dreams and pines and fantasizes about going to these mountain places. I said, you know, you were designed for Colorado. I don't know if you knew that, but you're not where you should be right now. Right. Just not like right now. So why don't you drop everything and go chase your actual bliss, which is truly in Colorado. And I describe the Colorado lifestyle to him. I have friends that live down in Colorado for those very reasons. I go to Colorado like a few times a year skiing, the whole thing. And he didn't even know it was an option. He's like, wow, you're right. I said, you can mountain bike every single weekend. You can ski 20, 30 times a winter instead of 4 or 8 days. He's like, oh my gosh. And I said, and you might even make more money down there. And there's all sorts of like-minded people. You also love weed, and that's totally chill down there. I said, you're probably in the wrong spot for you right now, right? And so I think what it is like tapping into what do I really, really, really want and not settling with anything until you know what you think you want, and then you go get it, and then you go, you know what, I think I want maybe something else. But at least you have some platform to be able to know what you like and what you dislike. And I think a lot of people, it's just easier to not go into what do I really, really, really want, because no one's ever asked me that. And maybe I can't make it happen. So it's just a big letdown enterprise. But go into what do you really, 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 really want? Like, I like good sushi. I like fine cigars. I like sun. I like not wearing a shirt. And I just, it like a light bulb went off. Like, maybe North Dakota is not my primary residence. Right. Just maybe.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, it starts with self-knowledge, you know, and not just where you live, but what you're doing and all these, you know, who you're with. All these different types of questions. I think that, you're right. It comes down to first just, you know, really concentrating and thinking about what it is that's going to make you happy and what it is that you're fit to do, you know?
So. Yeah. And I mean, it's a great question, because I barely anybody like bravely goes into, you know, that question of like, how do you really pull this thing off? And you guys are asking the questions. So these are good things. Another really practical thing is like, find out you really don't want that nomad life that you think you want, right? Because you are completely psychologically addicted to your mother. You know, like you have to be 2 miles from her, and she has to be able to text you and call you at all times. Now, that's just like an example or something, but it's like, try some stuff, just experiment with a business. And you know, I think it's kind of like the person that wants to drop 20 pounds. They're going to do P90X, and they're going to go raw organic vegan, and they're going to go hardcore. And it's just like this shattering, intense willpower activating to require what they think they want, versus like, you know, I'm going to drink, instead of 3 Cokes, I'm going to drink, you know, a Coke a day, and just like small tweaks. Because it usually doesn't require such jolting, stuff to get what we want. You know, yeah. I think people thought masturbate the thing to death, and it's just stupid.
Right. You know, the thought comes up quite a bit on here, you know, when it comes to people who want to live this lifestyle. I know that in my case, certainly, you know, the idea of traveling a lot is appealing to me, but I definitely want a home base. And I think there are people for whom this is appealing, this idea of traveling here and there, just bringing your laptop and a bag with you. You know, I do believe at some age they may rethink that, but certainly, many of them disagree, and many of them want to embrace that now. And the way that they may be able to realize something like that is to start an online business. And so they're trying to figure out some way to do that. What are they going to do? They're going to go to a foreign country and start the next Netflix, or what? There could be all sorts of things that they could do, but the most obvious choice is to start an online business. So they're trying. Many people are trying their hand at it, but not all of them are realizing great success. What do they need?
Well, this is a big question. It deserves, you know, some refinement here, but a lot of it, so many directions that all like people need to know all of this stuff. But one thing is the margins. I mean, you got to have a margin friendly business, period. So I love Tim Ferriss's 4-hour work week. So let's say, okay, I'm going to start an online business, and I'm going to start a book review site, and I'm going to be an affiliate for Amazon.com, and I'm going to recommend my favorite books. And when someone buys Tim's book for $14, I will make a whole 75 cents. This is a brilliant business model. With only 8,000 million views a month, I can retire or live comfortably. It's a stupid model. It's a bad model. It's a nice supplement model, like on a podcast. If you had a little thing and it was like, hey, here's a couple books we absolutely love, check it out, we do a review, and you have You have a little affiliate link.
Yeah, it's on. I have one on the website.
Yeah, you make a few bucks, but it'd be a lot better even if you said, and you know, here I've experimented with this, and I did a video report from 1995, and it's got my instruction manual, my action guide. And now instead of making a buck, you're making 20 bucks. You're actually getting like a buyer clientele. And then the next thing you know, you can do $5,000 coaching experiences out to San Miguel. I mean, there's models that have to have margin. I mean, you got to like really focus on the math. And what I think a lot of people do is they don't create or understand. It's more of an ignorance thing than a like a, it's not a malice or stupidity. They just don't know what they don't know because they're not following the right people. And they're buying insufficient knowledge. And if you're following the wrong people, again, it goes back to the information. Bad information is very expensive. It can cost you years. It can waste a ton of time and things like that. And so, but anyway, you have to have a business model that when you make a sale or two, that there's a ladder of escalation that maybe it's a 1995 product. So let's take you guys can we play with this idea?
Sure.
For you guys a little bit?
Yeah, let's go.
So, you know, John, you're an accomplished voice. You're an accomplished talent. You have a great wealth of wisdom, both in travel and you're sophisticated and all this stuff. And James, we just met like on this podcast, so we don't know each other as well. But I'm assuming you guys have affinity there and your listeners have affinity and most of them want what you guys have at some level or like you guys or whatever. And there's probably some information that you guys could create that if you do it in a cool way and it's like $9.95, 100% guarantee refund. Check out, like, here's how to relocate. Like, here's how to do it. Here's how we did it. Here's, like, here's the checklist. Here's the blueprint. Here's the questions we ask. Here's the pitfalls to avoid. Here's the mistakes we had. It's $9.95. Hey, you want to move to Costa Rica? Check out this report before you do it. You want to do this? And now, all of a sudden, you get a very distinct avatar that's buying your stuff, right? And then maybe what you do is you do a yearly or, it starts with three or four people. It's $4,995. And it's a weekend with you guys doing the wine and the dancing and the senoritas. And there's content and you fly in a friend to speak on whatever, you know, information marketing or whatever. And all of a sudden you have a $20,000 weekend or a $15,000 weekend. And with expenses, it's maybe you profit $8,000. But the point is, you got to have a model that escalates to the point where it can be worth it to do the business. And most people, I think, well, I'm going to sell my little whatever. So I think the answer, again, to tighten it up, is to start as an affiliate of a product that has a product line that has an escalating margin of potential. So, like in one of my companies, like the entry level is $7, right? And it's a game called Dexter. And the promise is basically you're going to have marketing dexterity in this game. It's $7. Give it a whirl. $7, 7 days. And what happens is, you know, 2 weeks later, that person is on my $195 a month membership for information marketing. And they bought my $5,000 travel project. And they bought my $1,495 Solomon course. And they pay $195 a month. And my business model allows this, not my goodness, not my, you know, spiritual purity, not anything, but my business model. It starts at seven, it goes to 37, it goes to 195, goes to 1495, goes to 5,000, 8,000, 12,000, and then my consulting is 50 to 100,000. Now, I take a couple consulting things because I know how to create the ladder, and I take a couple of those a year as a side thing with maybe 15 hours a year in consulting and have a six-figure business. I'm terrible at it. I tell people not to hire me sometimes. But you see the margins. You got to have a high-margin game somewhere because what's the point?
Fantastic answer. You got us wrapped.
Yeah. I mean, that's the missing. And that's why, like, when people, you know, credit me with their big shift. That's usually the big shift is I say, hey, quit thinking it's a $19.95 ClickBank product. Okay, quit thinking that. Host your own conference. You don't have to do it forever, but host a conference. See what you can get away with, right? See what, I mean, and what I teach them is, hey, you know how to create a capture page. You know how to collect pay-per-click leads from Facebook. You know how to get on Bing and Yelp. You know how to, you know, get SEO traffic on YouTube, you know, and if you don't sell something for $2,000 where someone flies over to your house, and again, it depends on where you're at and if that money's worth it or not or whatever, but You do a 2-day thing with three people who pay $2,000 and you teach them what you know. If they don't buy from you, they're going to be in these shitty little $50 a month half-truth programs, and they're not going to know what you know, and you can shorten their learning curve by who knows how much and inspire them to actually take their lives seriously and take this whole dream seriously. So that's my big one. Charge more, you know, kind of Dan Kennedy stuff, just charge more.
So how many, can you share with us how many different avenues? You've got all these different products. I found one online that you have something to do with. It's called The Great Lemonade Crusade. What's that?
You know, that's really fun, by the way. It's a gamified lemonade stand. So we stop. I almost never pass a lemonade stand. It's just like law to me.
Right.
And we take the kids, you know, I got four kids and my wife, and we stop and this girl sells lemonade, and, you know, we get in it and it's a quarter and it's in a Dixie cup that's half melted and her finger's on the rim and the lemonade's watered down. It's lukewarm. Her finger's like in the lemonade. We give her the money. She doesn't say thank you. We drive away and I say, kids, now let me ask you a question. Was that lemonade stand for us or was it for her? Or maybe it was for her parents. Maybe her parents said, get out of here, quit playing video games and go sell some lemonade. So we don't know what brought her to that little lemonade stand. But I said, that lemonade stand is maybe better than doing nothing, but maybe not, you know? I said, this lemonade stand sucks. It was a disaster. Don't ever be associated with something like that again. Business exists to enliven the community, reward the buyer for their presence and their money. And so I created a gamified thing where it teaches kids entrepreneurial step to create a 4 or 5 star lemonade stand. So we have kids all over the world getting $20, not per glass, because it's a free will offering. We did the metrics on it. We split tested whether you charged $1 for a glass, whether you charged a quarter, 50 cents, free will offering. And we found out that if you do free will offering with free popcorn and a free brownie, that you will get on average anywhere from $2 to $5 per glass of lemonade. And it's got to have ice in it. You have to offer a live lemon wedge that you pick up with a tong to plant. You have music at the point of purchase. You also have upsells with little matchbox cars you get from the dollar store. And I literally give them a business model of a multi-millionaire. And I say, this is how you run a business. So we have a competition. We give away iPads, Kindle Fires, trophies, And every year we're up in eight. And so my ultimate goal is to sponsor kids to possibly create entrepreneurial camps, like Berkeley has creative camps and Harvard has summer camps. And I want to create an entrepreneurial platform for kids. So there's no money. I've had like guys that are, you know, making $20 million a year calling me and say, hey, Mark, you are on a gold mine with this idea. And I said, I am never going to monetize this, and people are not even going to find out how they can pay me money on this. This is pure philanthropy for the next generation. But it's self-enlightened, right? Because there's a 12-year-old. Last year, there's a kid, he's 11 years old. He said, you know, he made $56 in 2 days. He learned about upsells. He learned about how having an employee. He learned all this stuff. You have to do a profit and loss sheet. You have to do, like, to get full points on the game and win, you have to do a lot of things. And it's a game. It's a real game, step by step. And this kid, I just know talent. And I'm like, this kid is guaranteed future millionaire, future value creator. He's a badass. He's 10 or 11 or whatever he is. He doesn't forget where he learned like the fundamentals. I know that, right? I know that. And so it's self-enlightened for me. But like that particular thing, the Lemonade Crusade, my goal is to pass it on, kind of like a sports league gets passed on to parents who have young kids. I have young kids now, so it's mine for now. But the goal is to steward it to just continually, kind of like hockey clubs and soccer clubs. And I think we can create an entrepreneurial energy that can really rival the sports energy out there and the music camp energy, and kids are having a blast. I mean, it's really one of the most fun things.
It's clear that you want to help these young ones. And then there were the other ones I met that day at the cigar bar. What was that effort?
Now that's Limitless. It's another reality game. So gamification it'll be about 10 years before not all information, but information that's not gamified is going to be not totally obsolete, but just boring and ineffective compared to a gamified experience. So gamification is where you do an activity. For instance, like I'm doing a 21 Leonardo da Vinci's 21 creative codes. Now I could create that info product, sell it, you know, straight to Facebook people that like Nightingale Conant or whatever, and $95 for the course and people would buy it. They listen to it and go, wow, you know, there's so many creative things to do. I'm inspired. This feels good. It kills time while I'm commuting. Okay, that's old school information marketing. It's whatever. It's fine. I've been involved in it. It's okay. The new thing is, so like today, right before this, we're creating the graduation certificate for the 21 Leonardo Creation Code. And it's like Harvard beautiful quality, you know, museum grade paper, full color that certifies that so-and-so went through the creative code game where they have to create a piece of sculpture. They have to create a painting. They have to create a piece of music. They have to do a variety of things that Leonardo did. And they have to journal, and they get a Da Vinci, which is a handcrafted journal in Maine. They get this as they play the game. What's more rewarding, that or the $95 course? Now, to be in my reality games, it's $100 a month. That's the player fee. And I have games like that. So one thing is you can like read The Motley Fool, which is a great thing. I subscribe to it. I love those guys. $150 for, I think, 2 years, 3 years, and they give the top two stock picks of the month or whatever, and whatever. So that's one thing. And I have $100 a month. So it's, what is that, 30 times more expensive than old information. Okay, right? 30 times more expensive is what I charge.
Okay.
But with my level, as I teach 3 minutes on Warren Buffett 101, which is buy stocks that seem to be on sale, they might be going down, but you believe kind of in what the vision of the company, the management, the product line, and you kind of become a co-owner in buying, you have 24 hours to buy a stock under $20 on TD Ameritrade. But before that, and then you got to go in the private group and post what you bought, right? And why you bought it. And so, like Matt, who we both know,
right,
he bought Rosetta Stone because the stock has plummeted because of the app craze that's, you know, really taking language learning to a really much more elegant, easy thing than the Rosetta Stone kiosk model and, you know, the magazine expensive model in the airlines and stuff. He said it's plummeted down, but I took Rosetta as a kid to learn some Latin and stuff, and it's a great product, and they just fired their CEO and they brought on a very tech savvy guy who's going to integrate that brand in. And so he bought it at whatever, $5 to $8, you know, a couple weeks later. But that's, so what's more valuable, reading a report or forcing yourself to spend $20 to buy? And then likewise in the game, they have to get a life insurance policy or apply for one anyway. And so it's kind of like forces a result so that I can tell a buyer who's looking at this game, this is limitless, $100 a month, that, you know, I have a small legion. We got about 100 kids right now, but it's in beta and we're still not deliberately campaigning it hard. It's just some friends sharing to their buddies to join. That, you know, how would it feel to know the price of your dream vacation, have your passport, have a life insurance policy, have a savings account, have a mutual fund started, know about single stocks, have your creative game on, have your cardio pumping, have your blood work at, like, part of it is like you test out your full blood work. So the level is it's a $5 test that does a complete blood work on you so that you scientifically base your health on data, not on magazine articles and not on like the latest stupid little berry that's the rage. Like you're looking at core blood work. And so it's a life game kind of at a whole new level. And really it's the first in the world pretty much, I think.
Yeah, that's really incredible. Man, I wouldn't even know how to begin to start to try to gamify something like that, but I'm sure it
is. Well, you can throw anything at me and I'll gamify it for you. Yeah. Try me.
Okay. Well, how about, somebody that wants to, live internationally, maybe go offshore with some of their assets, have a international account, maybe get another passport, the type of things that we talk about. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the whole gambit of things, but, you know, I'm sure that you could gamify it somehow.
So level gamification, mm-hmm. just like with any app, it usually starts for free or super cheap. I charge right out of the gate because we give leather journals and executive pens and, you know, we throw some assets back, or we throw some value into the rewards of like stuff. But let's just take your case in point. So you can create a game, and what's nice is this can evergreen, and then through the players can crowdsource a beautiful community. And the future of internet marketing is your network. Mm-hmm. And it's social circles. it's not email lists like it used to be, and it's not direct. Direct advertising is very expensive. It's very shotgun, and it needs to happen. Like, every business should be doing it. But the most powerful thing is you have in-house evangelists who are bringing people to your product because they want it, right? So just, you know, just yesterday, a lady's like, hey, my friend saw your Solomon CEO. I did a one-ounce silver coin, pure mint, is beautiful coin. And she wants that course. And so it's a $500 thing. I said, she can buy it for $14.95 and we can pay you a commission of about $600 on it. Or if you don't care about the commission, we can sell it to her for $400 or $500. And she said, I'm cool with the commission. It doesn't matter. So that's a $500 just, but I'm not spending for that. That's a referral. And that's the greatest form of marketing. But anyway, to answer your question on how to gamify the nomadic, and you could call it the nomadic adventure, right? Step one. And so you'd train for about seven to 10 different minutes. Here's places that are safe. You know, here's places that single guys are better at versus if you got families, the school operations are a little iffy here or there or that. But you teach for maybe 7 to 10 minutes max. And then you say, challenge one in the game is to right now select three of your most likely places you'd like to go. We gave you 10 examples, but if you have something on your heart, that's it. But select three to kind of keep this open so you don't set your heart that it has to be Bali or it has to be this. Step two is, okay, whatever you selected, now I want you to actually look at the rental market. Here's three sites that you can look at to rent, blah, blah, blah. And I want you to price out an acceptable per month fee in a location that feels safe enough and of the quality and caliber that you're looking for, and just price it out in the comments below, post a picture and, you know, what you learned in your little hunt. So what you're doing is the value that that would create for your buyers is it's mesmerizing. Like, and I'm doing this gamification stuff with, there's a billionaire that just hit me up through his CEO. And he's like, we know gamification is, it's not even better. It's just a different planet than all this other crap of information that's out there. And we need to sit and figure out how to do it. So this is a decade ahead of the curve right now, what we're talking about. But think of the value of that. So step three, you know, am I vibing with like a reality game that your buyers would be like valuing from being a part of, right?
So far, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so true. now that you have a checklist, and it's an exhaustive, huge checklist of things that have to happen. But you don't give that right away because they're not fully sold and they're not ready to come start taking actions on those checklists. But step three is, okay, you've got a couple options. Now let's just get really, really brass tacks and eliminate stuff in our lives like crazy. Just eliminate, you know, sometimes it's storage sheds of like storage stuff that it's like an anchor in our life or whatever. I don't know. You guys eliminated stuff to get to what you're
true.
And so a step is just, I want you to eliminate, you know, here's a portfolio of items, but just do one or two of them and then make a 1 minute video to the community below on how you feel that you're actually taking closer action to your vision of being nomadic. But also you got rid of something that you just didn't really need or care about anyway. And it's opening up that flexibility and that liquidity to start doing the things you want. And then the next level might be something to do with money. And the next level might be something to do with business preparation. And then the next level. So this is how you gamify knowledge. And so your $19.95, you know, video report or $9.95 video report I was talking about, that leads to the $29.95 per month game of nomadic living. And it's a community. So it's not just a game. They get a community of people that are doing it, and you celebrate the living shit out of people that actually do it. They're your featured guys. And then they say, you know, hey, we moved to Costa Rica. We did this, we did that. We could have never done it as fast and as simple and as confidently without James and John. We love the nomadic lifestyle. So then all of a sudden, you think I'm kidding with these $5,000, $10,000 conferences. They're just out there. But again, and so it's not just a money thing. It's like, if that's a passion, you got to kind of hone in, you got to get crazy with it. You got to go hard and you got to be excellent with it and commit to it no matter what.
Yeah. That sounds great. Now you threw out some numbers there as far as pricing goes. And I was going to ask you about, because that's a trouble I have sometimes is pricing things. I don't think that those are real numbers that you would actually use, right? I mean, how do you go about pricing something like that? How do you begin that?
Well, I mean, you know, what's the proper price
right.
to sell something? It's whatever someone happily pays for it.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
That's the right price. So, you know, $29.95 is proven as kind of a gimme throwaway. They forget about it on their credit card. It's not that big a deal. They like being connected to the energy. It keeps the dream alive. It's a $30 donation to your coffers to keep doing what you're doing. Right? Mm-hmm. $29.95, great price point. $49.95, you're starting to push it a little bit. With, if you want like a casual, it depends on the level of membership intensity. Like my gamified, most of them are young guys who are really hungry and really going for it. So I'm probably going to put it to 150 versus 100 because mm-hmm. it's too cheap. It doesn't have enough commitment gut to it.
150 a month?
Yeah, 150 okay. a month. And the way, you know, well, one level, will it's just called teeth, right? And I share like 7 one-minute stories about people that just didn't go to the dentist for 4, 5, 6 years because teeth didn't hurt. Whatever, you know, it's annoying, it's painful, it's unpleasant, whatever. And that costs that person $7,000 in dental work later and 2 weeks of agony and hours in the dental chair grinding out. This level is to get in touch with a dentist, get an x-ray, and get your teeth fully checked. So it's 150. So let's just go with 100. So that's $1,200 for a year. When a 23-year-old who's been away from their parents for 3 years gets that level and pays $89 to go to the dentist, and they say, well, you have this cavity and this little thing gone, and it prevents them a $6,000 of dental work 3 years later, 150 is nothing.
Right.
When they start investing and they detect these low $20, you know, it's like with the investing level, one of the kids said, Mark, all the good stocks, you want us to play with some stuff under $20. All the good stocks are super expensive. And I said, like what? And he said, well, Netflix, it's $600. We're right in line. I Google, I say, it's IPO'd at, looky there, $13. They're out there.
And oh, then I see.
It's right there.
Right.
So what you have to bring value though, right? It's never about what you're charging. It's about your value you're creating. It's never, ever about the charge. It's always about the value. So when Steve Jobs creates these iPhones that are way infinitely more expensive than anything anyone's ever seen in a commodified, boring industry like cell phones, he just didn't care. He's like, I'm creating the best thing, and we're going to put it. It's going to be like something nobody's ever seen. And he did okay. So it's the same kind of, like, for one of the projects we're on right now, it's called the Life Arc, and it's part of the Limitless game where it's just a really unique thing. It's based on the Ark of the Covenant where you put, you know, the Ten Commandments were in there. So I have 4 journal slots for these leather journals that are filled with their notes, which we call your life codes. These are your life codes. In the notes you're learning, the personal development you're doing, the experiences, like, this is a box that you're going to pass to your kids and they're going to pass to the kids' kids. And you're going to fill it with the, you know, World Series baseball you caught in Game 6 or whatever. And it's going to be a container of sacred things. So we priced it out, and it's got a leather cover. It's absolutely just beautiful and yada, yada. But anyway, I'm studying it deeper, and it's like it's made of acacia wood in the original, like in the Old Testament.
Right.
It's acacia wood. And I'm like, well, this shit is really expensive because it doesn't scratch. It doesn't retain water. It's usually in like mansions as their wood flooring. So you're competing. It's going to literally add about $150 per box to make it out of acacia versus out of standard wood, like typical stuff. But I said, it's going to be a 200 to 300 year laster. And I said, I'll figure out the metrics to make it where I'm not still making money,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to make something great. That's going to have, because in 150 years, when a kid opens up a Limitless Players thing and it's got these notes and it's got these experiences and it's got these artifacts and it's got this passport that's just littered with all these cool stories, and they get a travel journal to record all their travelings, and they're going to say, holy crap, great grandpa was a beast. Like, I never knew. Like, and it inspires it. Like, I'm digging into my past to find out the stories. But if I had a box I could open up and read, oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, that's really good information, and I really appreciate you coming on and talking to us about this. I'm sure you've given a lot of people a lot of things to think about. Yeah. You know, maybe a lot of people, it might sound a little bit overwhelming, You know, so say that, you know, especially somebody that's just starting out. So say that, you know, I'm sure you do give advice to a lot of people that are kind of just starting out, or maybe even don't even have an idea yet. But, you know, they want to go out on their own as far as have their own business or something like that.
Yeah.
What is the best piece of advice that you would give them?
Well, I mean, it's usually diving into a culture and it's usually following a guru, really. I mean, that it just is. It doesn't mean that guru becomes your Lord and Savior. It just means you're dialing into somebody who's got a community. Right. And what you're looking for, so here's the warnings. You're looking for people who have results from that person, right? So I think it's Maria Folio's B School. She has a bunch of great stories of people that started their business and took off and went crazy. Eben Pagan is a good friend of mine. He has a bunch of stories of people, and I'm one of them, that bought his $2,000 Get Altitude course on how to run an online business, and it worked well. I have, you know, a small legion of people. There's people that you can buy from and dig into and really kind of put on. And the problem a lot with adults is, like, I know the world. Because people mistake time for knowledge or something. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, this, I'm not going to do that. Or they have some kind of psychological baggage on getting started. But it's really like Frank Kern's got cool stuff. And you don't have to worship these people. You don't have to follow them like a disciple. But look at it like I'm curating information about people that are running online businesses. Ryan Dice's Digital Marketer is fantastic. It's really good stuff. So there's a bunch of places to go. You know, my warning would be don't drop the big money till you pay some little money and play with some stuff and, you know, see if you're game. And sometimes I've told people throw down the 5K, get the full gamut, give this thing 90 days. You'll find out you would rather wake up at 8, have your coffee, go to work and come home and watch football and TV. And you deserve to find that out now instead of thinking about this for 15 years. Double down, get serious, kill this idea, kill it fast, or kill it for real and live the dream. But a lot of people are living their dreams. They don't even know it. They really just, they love picking their kid. They don't know they love it. They just like this little fantasy that they want to do this other thing. But my recommendation, especially for your listeners, would be let's kill this idea fast so we can get it off our head. Like, we want to go move somewhere. Let's buy everything about nomadic living. Let's listen to this podcast like it's going out of style. When you guys offer the 1995 video report and the video in the game, let's buy that, commit to it. Let's kill this idea or go do it. Because this whole nothing feels good in the middle kind of stuff is time's too precious to screw around with this.
That is great advice. That's what I try to talk to people interested in getting into voiceover services. I say, look, either throw yourself into this and figure out you can't do it. That's way better than staying in this weird psychological loop for 20 years in which you never do anything.
Yes, they live in purgatory. And there's nothing worse than living in your purgatory, your self-imprisoned purgatory. And that's the juice. And, you know, just by way of whatever, you guys do whatever you want. I really think this subject, you guys, because you did it, you're true experts in this and running. And James, I don't know how you generate your money or what you're living from or off or with or whatever. But, you know, you guys are doing it and you did it without making the money telling people how to do it, which is key, right? It's you could actually deliver real information because you did it. Just like the person who has some other whatever, but they want to move. They want to try location independence. They want to reinvent themselves completely. You guys have a lot of value that if you curated it into action guides and into games and into products, this is an underserved, a massively underserved industry. And I know because I don't ever tell. Well, John, we hung out for a while. I don't know if I ever told you what I did because.
No.
I don't tell anybody.
Right.
They ask, I'm like, you don't want to know. Because as soon as they know, they're like, wait a minute, this is possible? And it's like, you know, my phone never stops getting blown up. Like, how do I do this? Like, what do I do? Like, what's next? And I don't want to let people know. But it's a huge industry. And another one is with families. Because single guys, it's a lot easier to play. I mean, if you're single, come on. This is a much different animal. I got four kids and a dog. and you know, these kind of things. And I'm still playing some nomadic games, right? So there's a whole market for families that want to play some of this stuff. And that's its own niche entirely. And with the single guys, and it's just, it's a, I see it, and it's only going to exponential grow. And it's, and you guys are serving it right now. So kudos to the service you guys are bringing to your listeners and really the movement that's occurring right now.
You've been listening to the Borderless Podcast. Mark Hoverson, one serious online marketing MFer. And he's given us a lot of things to think about ourselves. Hopefully you too. Thanks so much, Mark Hoverson, for being on the Borderless Podcast.
My pleasure.
Yeah, so I knew Mark Hoverson was going to be a good guest, but you know, he's just so calm, that demeanor and everything. Yeah. And all of a sudden you realize you're listening to really valuable information.
Yeah, absolutely. He has given me a lot to think about.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so you heard he was actually giving us advice here on the Borderless Podcast. So those of you who appreciated us for not being like an infomercial, expect us to be unquenchable whores anytime soon. And no, of course, I'm joking about that. The only thing that we would do is something, you know, of genuine value to people. And not make the entire podcast about that,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So we want you to get involved again. Again, the Borderless Podcast Network is growing, and people are participating more and more. Go over to borderlesspodcast.com.
Yep. And there's a big button there. It says free instant access, and that'll get you a free PDF that'll help you get started finding a place that you might want to live. And you'll also give you access to the Borderless Facebook group, where we have all kinds of people from all over that can help you get started. So hope to see you inside there.
All right. Another Borderless Podcast coming up soon.
Thanks for joining us for the Borderless Podcast, traveling, investing, and living beyond borders.